WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. What if we could block a protein to stop runaway cell division? Dana-Farber laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The new film Once Upon a River tells the story of Margot Crane, an indigenous teenager in rural Michigan in 1977. Margot is a great shot, which ultimately changes the course of her life. When a tragic incident leads to the death of her father, she takes to a paddleboat on the Stark River and sets out on a journey to find her estranged mom. She encounters a number of men along the way, some who hinder her and others who help her on her mission. She learns some tough lessons about trust, family, and the ties that bind us. To get a sense of the film, here is a clip from the trailer of Once Upon a River.
What's the main rule again?
Only make the good shot, not just any shot.
That's right. Listen to your breathing, to your body.
Do you want to come hunting with me for opening day?
You're going to go hunting with her? Are you kidding me, Dad?
And alive and sober in this world.
You know that, Daddy.
Once Upon a River is out now in virtual cinemas in New York. Joining me now to discuss the film are Harula Rose. Hi, Harula.
Hi there.
And the star of the film, the lead actor, Kennedy De La Serna. Hi, Kennedy.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. So, Harula, this was your first time directing a feature film. Why did you want it to be this story?
Well, I fell in love with this story because it's a young woman going on an adventure and finding herself, and all of it felt very unique to me. Who she is, who she comes across, the world that it's in, and who gets depicted. It was just the perfect cocktail of everything. It's really personal and intimate, but also an odyssey. And I just loved everything about her. She gets to be a little bit like Huck Finn. She loves Annie Oakley, and I don't know, I just, all of it. There wasn't a doubt. I kind of felt it in my bones when I read it.
Kennedy, this project's a first for you as well. How did you get involved with the film?
Yeah, so I actually got an email from someone who was helping cast the film. They asked me to audition. And so I auditioned and we met, and it was really great chemistry, I think, with the director of photography and with Harula. And I read the script, the screenplay, and the book, and I fell in love with Margot and all of the characters within the film, and just knew that I really wanted to be a part of creating this story.
As you both mentioned, the book, it's based on a book by Bonnie Jo Campbell. Harula, what did you want to make sure you preserved in the adaptation to screen that was in the book, or a sense or a tone of the book?
I tried to present it in the best way I could in 90 minutes. I mean, the story is very long and it takes place over a long time, but Bonnie and I laughed a bit about this because she said, you know, I didn't do you any favors. Margot is kind of quiet. She doesn't talk too much. And there was something about that that also appealed to me, this like interior life that she has that's kind of coming out and being displayed, and that we get to be subjectively in her shoes the whole time. I really wanted to preserve that, but also the cinematic quality that Bonnie has in her writing was apparent in the first paragraph of the book. So I really wanted to capture nature as a character as well, and just how the setting is both beautiful and wild and also harsh and unforgiving.
So, Kennedy, yeah, that's a challenge if the character's life, the interior life, is incredibly rich, but you might be quiet. Mm-hmm. What kind of conversation did you have about how to develop Margot and how to have us understand Margot?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. I think I'm a big believer that these characters that we all watch and listen, and as an actor, you find these characters within yourself. So I think it just took a bit of discovering Margot within me and finding my quiet moments and finding the kind of inner emotions within me. And it took spending time in nature and really just sitting with all of the challenges that Margot goes through and are presented within the story. And being extremely present in the moment is something that I think was really important. It's not about doing that much, but it's about listening to the story, the nature around you, and the people.
Yeah, Herla, what did you want to capture? We've been talking about nature, you both have, about this region in terms of, you know, visually, when you were talking to your DP.
Oh, yeah. So I grew up in the Midwest, just outside Chicago, and there's just all this incredible wildlife, and I feel there's all these lakes and rivers, and we were shooting this time of year, in fact, and every day brings with it a different challenge as well as blessing. And so we wanted to show how, at least for me and Charlotte, our cinematographer, we watched a lot of references and, you know, got in each other's head, and I really wanted to show how the world is evolving, the way that our characters are as well. And it parallels her inner life and the characters she meets as well. Like she needs them and they need her. And sometimes they don't even know that about one another, but, because of this world that they find themselves in, there's something really lovely and fragile about it.
My guests are Herula Rose. She is the director of Once Upon a River, and Kenny de la Serna stars in the film. So let's just talk about one challenge for sure that most independent filmmakers have to deal with: the fact that it's an independent, small budget project. So, Herula, what were some of the challenges you faced on that front? And give me one good workaround.
Well, so this was actually an exercise in seeing how ambitious we could all be together, because in many ways it's everything you're not supposed to do. It's a period piece. There's sensitive sexual content. Mm-hmm. There's guns, there's stunts, there's vehicles that are, you need to just like get it right. And one of the main workarounds, and I knew this in reading the novel too, that we could kind of get away with all of it, was that it's set in a rural setting. So we didn't need to have like these big wide shots of the street with people in period costume or dress. And we could get away with things feeling sort of timeless, but specific to the 70s, if we were clever about what we had in the frame and how best to display it, you know, as a team, and just making sure that all of those elements added up.
So I'm going to give a little bit of a synopsis without giving too much away. One of the central conflicts in the film is family. There's Margot's estranged mother. There's also her father's half-brother and family who are white and are not the most pleasant people you've ever met. Kennedy, as you were thinking about Margot's place and her relationship to all these people, is she just an independent soul that she would get up and go? Or is it the kind of thing, does she have to go out of, and as the way you play her, out of necessity?
I think it's a mix of both, to be honest. I think it is a bit of necessity. If certain things that happen within the film didn't transpire, if they didn't go down, then I don't think that Margot would run at this specific moment. But I do think that there is a quiet independence that Margot has that eventually would have led her to leave and kind of set her on a journey. I think it's kind of inevitable that she would go on some grand adventure. But I do think that Margot was not prepared at this moment, and that it was kind of, this journey is thrust upon her, and almost in a really sad, but in an almost like really exciting way of this mm-hmm. journey of finding herself too.
Margot Kennedy's a great shot. I mean, Kennedy, Margot's a great shot. And this creates some problems in the film, but it's also, but hunting is also a way of connecting with her father. It's also how she can fend for herself. She carries a gun with her throughout the film. What does that gun mean to Margot Kennedy and to her character?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I think it means a lot of things. And I think it's an interesting symbol for us to see on film these days as well. And I think Margot really sees it as protection. It's almost like an extension of herself. For a while, you never see her without it. I also think it's a reminder of where she comes from and her family, in a sense. She learns how to shoot, of course, on her own, but from her grandfather and from her dad. So I think it is also a reminder of her family and who she is, but it's a sense of protection. It's a way of life.
My guests are Kennedy de la Serna and Harula Rose. We're talking about their new film, Once Upon a River. So Harula, you know, I want to go through, she meets a lot of men. Margot meets men along the way in the search for the woman in her life who she wants to know better. When she wants to be in her life, she thinks she does anyway. So along the way, Margot meets Will, who's a young Cherokee man who's also on a quest of his own. What does this story really investigate about Margot's relationship with her own heritage?
I think this also relates to your question about the gun, is that part of what attracted me so much to this story and to the character was that we often see heroes on their odyssey, and a lot of the time what their blessings and talents are also what bring about their downfall. And I feel like the gun represents that for her. Like, she is a sharpshooter, she's an excellent shot, and that's what kind of ultimately destroys her life, but also gives her rebirth in a sense. And I think that this journey, because they're sort of othered in their community, and part of also what attracted me to this project and talking to other cast and a producer who are all Native American was that it's representative of people without making it overtly an issue film. It's not like a movie from the 1700s or 1800s that's, a tribe that's like not really identified, and it's like representing this other way of life. It's really specific to these people, and it's such a human story. And I think Margot starts out being like other even to herself. Like, she doesn't discover who she is. She gets inspired by Will and by the people she meets along the way who are also interested in her. And I think that is, you know, I don't want to give away another big plot point, but I think that's why she decides what she does decide later on, towards the end, about whether she's going to keep that link to Will. I think she wants to discover more about herself, and this is the beginning of all of that.
Kenny, did you want to dive in there?
Yeah, I would love to just continue that. I think Harula's right. One of my favorite things about this film is that it's not an issue film. It's not a film about the struggles of a specific culture or peoples. It's just happens to be a story about a young girl who, and you know, a family, and some of them happen to be Indigenous, which I really love that. And I think we're kind of all, no matter what age you are, on a journey to discover who you are continuously. And it's something that really resonated with me. It's just this journey of, okay, what is my culture? What is my background? But also, like, my environment shapes who I am, and the different people I meet along the way. So how does that impact me and shape me to who I am? Which is something I just really love about this film.
Kennedy, there's a scene where Margot ultimately does meet her mom. In that moment, in those first moments, what kind of conversations did you and Harula have about what those first moments are supposed to be like? Or that you want us, the audience, to sort of, you know, as we're watching this happen, what were you thinking about as you were creating that scene with Harula?
Wow, yeah. That was a pretty actually tough scene to
to do with Lindsay Pulsifer, and it was really exciting to work through. I mean, the way Hurula works is really great. She's really great at listening to everyone around her and taking in advice. But also the way we worked was she would put on a playlist of almost the music that was the tone and sense of what she wanted to get from these scenes. And she would discuss just almost in strange metaphors sometimes about, and it wouldn't even be specific. Like, she wouldn't tell me exactly what she wanted, which was really great. There was this freedom of, she would just give a sense. She would say a sentence or that was just like about the tone that she wanted, or it was about the scenery around us. And she really allowed us to play in these moments and kind of just be free. So that was something that was really great to work with Lindsay, because I think Lindsay had a tough job as well. I mean, mm-hmm. some people could come into this role and immediately villainize
right.
the mother. And I think Lindsay Pulsifer did an amazing job at bringing so much empathy and understanding to the role of the mother. And I think that's the journey that Margot has to take too, once opening that door and seeing her mother again, is that journey to understanding her decisions and finding that empathy and understanding, like, okay, we can live and we can make these decisions. Sometimes they hurt other people, but we can make decisions and live how we want to live.
I got to hear one of these metaphors now.
Oh, well, you know, yeah, I feel like directing is such an interesting art because it's so collaborative. So you come in with this like clear idea of what you want, but you also want to be respectful of the people you're working with. So a lot of the discussions I had with Lindsay, especially about those scenes, was to make sure that, you know, you can't see, especially the character you're playing, as like a good person or a bad person, but just a human being. And we're all making mistakes and trying our best to be the best version of ourselves at the time. And I think she really believed that she would have died if she stayed, and she had mm-hmm. to save her own life. And she, you know, she would have brought down the people around her. And with Kennedy, so it's her first film, and I feel like discovering Kennedy is a whole story we could talk about, because it was like the stuff of mythology or lore. Like, there was locations and money and, you know, all the other cast, and I was like, I don't have my Margot. What am I going to do? This is a joke. This is some great cosmic joke. And then she appeared, and it was like manifest in the last 48 hours before we would have had to pull the plug. I mean, the whole thing was so intense. And so in terms of metaphors, for me, like, Kennedy already is so open and inhabits all those qualities. And I kind of knew in seeing her tape, I was like, oh, wow, there is this light within her that comes out. And, you know, Margot goes through so much darkness that you always need to have a protagonist who you can attach to despite whatever they're going through, and that you can empathize with them and be in their shoes. And so I feel like in directing everyone, it was really about finding a space where we could all feel and be authentic, and always being able to, I call it like a tightrope walk of like, I know what I want, but I really want to know if someone has a better idea, or be open. And, you know, like, ideally I get what I want and everyone else gets what they want too. And then you have so much material to work with in the cut.
All right, I've slid this last question in. Kennedy, your name is spelled K-E-N-A-D-I. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about your name?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for this question. It's really interesting. I've never gotten it so far. So it is actually the Hawaiian phonetic. So I am Hawaiian, and that's how you would spell it if you're using the Hawaiian phonetics.
There you go. I had to know. I've been looking at it on the screen. I have to ask this question. I've been speaking with director Hurula Rose and actor Kennedy de la Serna about their film Once Upon a River. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us. This is so wonderful. Yeah.